Ah, you fool! You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia, but only slightly less well-known is this. Never go in against a Sicilian when death is on the line.
First of all, I just want to tell you what a great show you got. I listen to you all the time.
Thank you, thank you. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
And sometimes you have to understand that the only person stopping you from doing what you want to do is you. Sometimes the biggest obstacle in your way is your own mind. So I made up my mind to hit the road, travel. Why do I like to travel? I mean, like, that's not, it's, the simple reasons are right there in front of us. But travel broadens the mind. I truly believe that. It opens you up to new experiences. Hearing new stories, understanding different perspectives, different cultures, different ways of looking at the world. You know, with 7 billion people on the planet, are we really only meant to know a handful?
Little column A, little column B.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause and thought about life, thought about the laws of gravity, traveling, new experiences, new people, old politics, and old news, and or new news. Don't touch that dial, just try to hear me out for a little while. Well, for more than 500 episodes, Tim has brought you his views of political issues of the day. But now, he's hitting the road and going to see America. Why? Well, we'll ask him in just a moment. Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. That's 209-565-3283. The email, Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. And, of course, we're on the web, even the dark web. Just use your preferred non-denominational web search browser to take you to plausiblylive.com or look for The Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, and iTunes. Ego Biberi Capula said, Oli Viverv. I drink coffee so that others might live. Well, Tim, good to see you again. It's been a while.
It has been, but it's thanks for having me on. It's good to talk to you again. Yes. I know we've you know, communicated off air and offline and things like that, but yeah, it's good to be back on your show. Thanks for having me.
I was talking to people the other day about my blood sugar issues, and I was talking about this guy that I know that's really into healthy living and that kind of stuff, and that was Tim. For those of you that are wondering, Tim's one of these health nuts, aren't you? Is that a good way to describe you?
Oh, no, I'm not a health nut. I just know a bunch of health nuts. So, you know, they're very, very picky and choosy about what they eat. And they also look like 10 times better than I do. So it's like, okay, well, you know, when someone asks me for some advice, I might not know the answer, but I probably know someone who does know the
right.
answer.
And that's what happened is I asked him for some advice, and he sent me to where I needed to go, and it's really worked. I was telling Tim the other day, my blood sugars have gone in 90 days. It's hard to believe it was 90 days ago. But it's gone from around 210, 230 in that range. We're down to the 100. In fact, today, after my walking today, it went down to 61. My wife said,
"Dude, I am like so happy to hear that." And is it okay if I tell people a little about how you approach me about this?
Go right ahead.
You reached out to me because you're like, I don't know many people who are into this healthy living and all that kind of stuff. And you said, if I don't get things turned around relatively quickly, I don't know if I'm going to be here in 5 years. So I was like, oh, no, this is not good because I like Dave and I want Dave on this planet. And I thought that, I mean, I know you have a young son and you have a wife. And it's like, gosh, if it's that bad, I don't know if I have the answers for Dave, but I can get him in touch with someone who does, and I can get him some information that might help. And then when I asked, hey, how are things going? And you're like, they're going amazing. I'm like, really? I'm so happy to hear that. So I was like, you know, that put a huge smile on my face to know that, you know, just doing a little networking and you know, pointing you in a good direction made that big of a difference. So congratulations. Keep it up. I'm happy for you, man.
Yeah, and we should probably go ahead and throw a plug towards Mike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the people I sent Dave to were the folks at MFIT, the letter M, FIT.com. And the founder of the company is Michael Morelli, and he's very dedicated to, you know, transforming the lives of Americans and anyone around the world, and, you know, getting them to eat healthier, getting them to exercise so that they can live longer and live, you know, happier, better lives. And I met him, maybe 2 years ago. And, you know, I've been plugging his products and stuff like that on my own podcast. But then this is the first time when someone has actually reached out through me and got in touch with, I don't know if you talked to Michael himself or not, but I put you in touch with some people on his team. So, you know, shout out to Michael and the folks at the MFIT team and Detox Organics, and all those guys, because they do a great job.
And I'm not, as I said on my show, I think it was yesterday or day before yesterday, I'm not one of these people that's really into, you know, supplements and all that stuff. But I did buy his book about, you know, the food, the permitted foods. And the only thing I can, they make great coffee. Grind coffee.
They do. So. They do. That's the one thing of theirs that that I really, really stand behind. I mean, supplements. I mean, there's so many different supplement companies out there. And some of them are great. Some of them are not so great. Some of them are just loaded with a ton of extra, you know, weird chemicals that you can't pronounce and way too much sugar. And it's, you know, so supplements are hit or miss. But if you can make a really great coffee, hey, you know, that's really cool. And they do have a great coffee, Grind, which I think I sent you a box or a bag of that, didn't I, Dave?
You did. You sent me a couple boxes of it or bags of it. Oh, and it was quite delicious. You know, I'm a coffee connoisseur, so, which is really bizarre because I'm really not. I'm not one of those people that sniffs it and, you know, swirls it around like wine or anything like that. I just pretty much put it in a cup and drink it. And if it doesn't taste like cat shit, I'll drink it. So
pretty much what I'm not even much of a coffee drinker myself, but I do like Grind coffee. So. Yeah. You know, for a non-coffee drinker to say, oh, this is actually really good coffee, I think that says something about
it. So let's talk about what's going on here. You did your podcast, the Tim Preuss podcast. You did 530 some odd episodes, if I remember right. I don't remember the number off the top of my head.
I think 540, and those are only the ones that were actually numbered.
Right.
So it's probably closer to 550 or 560.
I've never numbered mine, so I don't even know how many. I could go through and count files, I guess, but it should be easy to do because I've got it in Windows. I've got them in folders, and it should tell me how many files are there, right?
Now that I think would about assume it. So, yeah.
I don't care. That's the thing. Anyway, you did all these, you did 500 plus podcasts, and, you know, we talked while you were doing the podcast about a lot of things and passions and that sort of thing. And, of course, everybody's got a different idea of how things should be and what they want to see. And you certainly come from a unique perspective. I wouldn't call it pure libertarianism, but it's kind of a mesh, I guess, of economic libertarianism. I don't know what to call it. I don't know what you would call it.
I don't know what I call it. I just say, hey, how about we talk about an issue and see where I stand? I don't think that there's any, like, you know, because I'm, you know, in my personal life, I'm very, very conservative. You know, I believe in the traditional family. I believe in marriage. I believe in, the relationship people should have with, you know, some sort of religion or a church. And, you know, those things that are traditionally called, you know, social conservatives. I guess the difference between me and other conservatives is that I don't want to force those things on people. I don't think government should be in the business of trying to promote those things, as good as they are. I don't think that's the government's job. I think if we have a government, and we can get into that if you want, but if we have a government, its main focus should be protecting our rights. So protecting our right to life, our right to liberty, our right to property, our right to free speech, and so on and so forth. And that should be the government's job. As far as, you know, giving people health care or the list goes on, providing people with horrible schools. I don't think the government should be involved in those things. There are plenty of other ways to get people who have those needs. There's plenty of other ways that we could serve those people and get them what they need without involving government. Government, in my view, and I think, well, history and facts kind of bear this out, makes things worse. It holds people less accountable than a private charity might. And makes it less personal, and it makes it easier to just kind of sit back and relax to get welfare. Whereas, you know, if I had a buddy who came up to me and said, hey, Tim, I'm having trouble paying the rent this month. Can I borrow a few $100? you know, I would help him out and I would give him the money, but I'd also hold him accountable. I say, did you look for a better job? Did you work more hours this week? You know, what are you doing to get to make it so that next month you don't come back asking for another couple hundred dollars? When the government gives someone, you know, a subsidy or a few hundred dollars or food stamps or whatever, they don't have those follow-up questions. There's no one person who's going to look you in the eye and hold you accountable. So let's get government out of that sphere. Let's let families and churches and communities and private charities, you know, that's what we had for hundreds and hundreds of years. We didn't have these giant government welfare systems. So why do we need them now? And the answer is we don't need them now. And since we've installed these systems, things have only gotten worse. You know, if we look at when welfare came into prominence, you know, are people poorer or richer who are on welfare? I mean, we have fifth generation welfare recipients. Clearly, the system is not getting people out of poverty.
Yeah, I think that was my biggest frustration. I worked in social services for, you know, 25 years. Even though we were a religious based social service, we took government money, which meant that we were constrained by government. And that was my, I mean, you could literally predict the day of the month by who was coming through your door to get the services, because you could only get it every 30 days or every 90 days. And so literally you could mark on your calendar who was going to come in on what day. And so, I mean, you could write your budget that way. It was very frustrating to me. And it's what part of the reason I got out of that line of work was just because it became so repetitive. It really did. And you're right. It's there's no accountability for it, but at the same time, there's no willingness on the part of anybody, I don't think, because if you even suggest doing away with that or limiting that, you're a bad guy, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a, you know, fill in the blank phobe. So,
and I think that there is that where it's like, oh, well, you want to take away people's food stamps? How dare you? Children are going to go hungry because of, you know, evil guys like Tim and Dave. And it's like, no, what I'm trying to do is encourage people that tell them that you don't have to be dependent on government. You don't have to rely on some, you know, institution to give you what you need. You can go out there and do it yourself. And when you go out there and do it yourself, you're going to live a more happy, a more meaningful life. You know, like your world is going to drastically change once you become more of an independent being. So, I mean, government and people on the left or whatever you want to call them, Democrats, let's just say, but Republicans too, many, you know, they're telling people you can't get ahead without us. What I'm telling people is, yes, you actually can get ahead without them. Well, so I think my message is actually a lot more positive and a lot more welcoming. And it looks out for the future of these people. And, you know, work is like almost tied to the well-being of your soul. You know, like if you're not working for something, then it's just like, what are you doing? What are you? What is your life if you're just doing nothing all day long? You know, wow. Here's the life I want to set out for you. Yeah. Live in poverty and we'll pay you just enough to get by. Does that sound like a great life?
No, it doesn't. But it's similar, Tim, to what's been going on with this, let's just call it the Mueller apocalypse, the last couple of days. We've watched as literally now we've had Nancy Pelosi, we've had MSNBC, and now we've had Ted Lieu all come out and tell us that the problem is the media hasn't communicated, the media, that we're all idiots. And we can't understand this without government telling us through the media what it all actually means. And if we would just listen to them, then we would be out there with our pitchforks going, impeach Trump, impeach Trump. And the reason we're not doing it is because we're too stupid to understand what they're trying to tell us. And that, I mean, why would the government be any different?
The natural condescending tone of the left or of people who just favor big government is government knows best. We know best. Just do as we tell you. Think like we think. And then the world will be perfect. And they fail to recognize that perhaps someone views something differently. And it doesn't mean that they're stupid or wrong. It means that maybe you should take a step back and listen for a change and say, oh, wait a minute. This person should run their own life because they have their own ideas about how they want to run their life. And who am I to tell them how to run their life or how to think? And you see it over and over. Like if you don't vote Democrat, you can't be black. You can't be gay. You can't be a woman, you know? And it's like, wait a minute, since when do we have, when, why are we saying that all blacks, all gays, and all women have to think the same way, or else they're what, betraying their gender because they vote for Donald Trump or for Ted Cruz or any Republican?
Right.
What?
Right. And that, but that's the whole attitude. If you don't, you know, yeah, everything has become, and the sad part about this, and I think you'll agree with this, the sad part is it's easy to point for us as conservatives, it's easy to point at the left and go, well, see, that's typical liberalism, that's typical progressivism. But the truth of the sad truth of the matter is that there's a good deal of that on the right as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what bothers me. So for 550 shows, I'm just going to call it 550.
There you go.
You did us. In all of that time, what was your favorite, if you had to pick one show that really said, screams Tim Price? What's the one that really you go back to, and if someone says, "Hey, I want an introduction to Tim Price," what's the one what's the subject or the show that you give them?
Oh, I mean, I've never even thought of that. You know, they're definitely,
that's because you don't favorite. Work in radio. See, if you work in radio, you've got a list of this kind of stuff already set up.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's any one show in particular. I mean, there are some that I definitely feel like are better than others, but I can't like think of the podcast number or the name of the episode. But I've had somewhere I finished the episode, and it might have been 2 hours long or something, and I was just like, I was on today. I was on. And then there's other times where, you know, I'm three quarters of the way through the episode, and I feel like I don't know what else to talk about, and my mind goes blank and I end up just kind of rambling. But sometimes some of my best episodes are filled with rambling because they're a little bit more humorful, a little bit more lively. And it's not just news, news, news. Here are some facts that you guys should all just believe because I'm telling you them, you know. So and I think it's evolved over the years, too, or it had evolved. I should put that in past tense, I suppose, now. And it evolved over the years where I started out with, you know, a partner in crime who was always there to be the co-host. So if there was ever any dead air, he would be able to jump in and we would bounce,
right,
you know,
which is
back
helpful.
And forth. And now, or, you know, in the past year, year and a half, 2 years, I just did it pretty much solo every day and sometimes 2 hours a day and sometimes 5 days a week. And it just got to be grueling. And I said, but that was a fun learning experience, too, because like the first time I did a solo show, I hated it. And I had to do it three or four times before I would even put it on the Internet because I couldn't stand it. There's no flow to it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, the first one I did probably, by my opinions now, sucked. But by the end of it, I was very comfortable just sitting in a room completely alone with only a computer screen in front of me, listening to my own voice through headphones and then, you know, clicking, all right, we're done. Let's export this file. Let's, you know, upload it to the server. And I'm happy with it and comfortable enough with it where I can share it with people and hope that they like it.
I tell people that's the hardest part of this is that in public speaking, you get immediate pushback. You get a reaction from an audience, a laugh, or you can tell if you're not you can tell if they're not coming with you. But in this business, I'm staring at a computer screen. Normally,
right,
that's what
I don't know.
At.
Yeah, I have no idea if
it's
people
funny
like
to
it
me, but I don't know if it's funny to anybody else or not. So
right,
that's where it goes.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun.
It is.
Or it was a lot of fun. And I got bored with it. And I got very disillusioned with really all of politics and politicians. And, you know, towards the end, I see left and right is very much the same. I don't see any real strong pushback against a lot of the policies of the left from Republicans as far as our ever expanding debt. Our, you know, the size of government continues to grow. You know, we still have troops all over the world, which is something that I don't necessarily like. I understand it in certain instances, but I think it's kind of out of control, needs to be reeled back in. And there's really, you know, there's maybe a handful of guys in Washington who would agree with me. And they're so far in the minority that they have no chance of making any real difference. So I was very disillusioned with politics. And I said, you know what, I'm not happy podcasting anymore. You know, I wasn't looking forward to it. There was a time when I would look forward to every night. I would get behind a microphone for 2 hours and it was a lot of fun. And I looked forward to it and I stopped looking forward to it. And it seemed like more of a job than something I did for fun. So I decided to just say, you know what, I'm just going to put it on hold or, you know, drastically scale back. And eventually I was traveling more. And I enjoyed traveling. I thought maybe I should make like some sort of video series on traveling, because this is something that I do enjoy. And video is something that I've dabbled in, but I've never really gone full blown into it. So it was it's a new challenge. It's something different. I'm out of my comfort zone, and it's something that I enjoy. And that's why I am doing what I'm doing now.
All right. We're going to talk about that in a little more detail here in just a minute. But so back to the politics for just a moment. I experienced the same thing. I mean, you get to the point where, all right, it's no big surprise when a politician is stupid. I mean, it just isn't anymore. It's no, you almost get to the point where it's a surprise when a politician does something correctly or, you know, follows whatever the procedures are, or the Constitution or something like that. It actually kind of becomes a surprise almost. And so it does kind of grind on you a little bit. It really does. But I'm wondering, it doesn't seem like, and I'm trying to figure out a way to put this a little more, somehow or another, it's not affecting the big audiences for the big talking heads. There's still this hunger out there to be fed Democrat politics are bad. Democrats are bad. Liberals are bad. As if, and I guess this is the part that frustrates me, Tim, is aren't people, you know, there's a line in the New Testament about you got to start eating meat. You got to quit drinking milk. I mean, we've had 40 years now of Democrats are bad, progressives are bad. How many times do we have to keep repeating that message before we move on to bigger things, I guess, is part of the whole thing. And that's the only thing left motivating me at all with this when it comes to politics.
You would think that's, you know, it's a worn out, you know, kind of way of thinking, but clearly it's not. I mean, you know, Hannity's number one. He's doing very well. And he's, you know, obviously totally biased in favor of Trump. I don't think he's said a bad word about him since he was elected. So, I mean, you would hope that people would be tired of the this side versus that side. Either you have a D next to your name or an R next to your name. And if you have a D, then you're bad. Or if you have an R, then you're bad. You'd think that people would be tired of that way of thinking, but they're not. And I kind of blame that on just us being dumbed down over the years through our education system. Obviously, that hasn't put us in a great position. Through the entertainment that we watch, reality TV. Oh my gosh. You know, the music that we listen to, you know, I mean, music. I don't know if you've heard some of this new mumble rap kind of stuff that people are coming out with. And, I know a few younger people and they love the stuff. And I listen to it. I'm like, I can't understand a word the guy is saying.
I don't get music today.
Dumbing down of America, and it's no wonder that people are just stuck in this kind of.
But it's the same thing, Tim. If I go and talk to my kids and my grandkids about music, your music's crap. I mean, I grew up in the 60s and 70s when music was good. Nowadays, music is crap. But if I say that, it's because I'm fill in the blank
old.
Here, old, racist, misogynist, you know, conservative, whatever.
Right.
I mean, whatever happened to a real argument about, look, you know, have you read the lyrics to this song? It's ba da ba da ba, ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba, ba da ba da ba da ba. Hey.
Right. I criticize this new music, and I say new, I mean very new. As a hip hop fan, like I grew up listening to Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Eminem and a lot of different artists over the years that were very violent and very crude and all sorts of things. So it's not like I have a problem with hip hop or I have a problem with rap. It's that I have a problem with this new stuff that I listen to it, and knowing a thing or two about audio production and I had a great friend who was an expert, you know, engineer, worked for some really big bands. So I sat in the studio with him and it's like, okay, I know how these songs are made. And I know that there's very little talent on the artist's behalf that goes into them. Maybe the producer's good, but the artists themselves they're terrible. I mean, you can't call them lyricists. You can't call them rappers. You can't call them musicians. You can't call them artists.
No.
It's just terrible stuff. And I don't know.
And it's getting worse by the minute.
Where to appreciate certain forms of art, you have to understand art, and understanding music, it takes time to really understand a lot of this stuff. Mm. So you can have an appreciation for hip hop. But once you understand hip hop, you'll know the difference between good hip hop and bad hip hop. And young people, I don't know if it's just part of that instant gratification kind of thing. And everything is so quick and on demand now that it's just that's what we've become accustomed to. And if you have to think too hard, then it's not really worth doing. And I worry about the generation coming up behind me.
Yeah, they used to complain about 70s and 80s or 70, 60s and 70s rock because it was all 1-4-5 with a seventh minor in there. But, you know, now it's not even that anymore. So
what, you say 1-4-5 with a seventh minor. And how many people know what you're actually talking about?
Very few.
Very few. I mean, I do because I played music in a band for many years, you know, and I was.
As did I. I got paid for it. I have a spectacularly unsuccessful professional music career. It's how I refer to it. We even have an album that's it's out there. But there you go. So, Tim, before. So hang on. I want to show everybody this. So this is kind of this will kind of set the stage for the rest of our discussion. This, Tim. Let's start with that name, Straight No Chaser. Now, this is Tim is moving into video casting. I wouldn't call it video podcasting, but I guess that's kind of what it is. It's a travel thing where he's going to travel around the country and maybe who knows, maybe the world. But why the name? What Straight No Chaser? I mean, I love it, but why'd you go with that?
The name comes from an old jazz tune by Thelonious Monk that I used to play. Actually, we did covers of this jazz song, and it was called Straight No Chaser. And I mean, what it means, you know, in literal terms, is that you're going to have a back in the day. This is the way people drank. You would have a shot of whiskey or whatever your liquor of choice is. Yes. And then you'd have a chaser, which was a beer or something, you know, less alcoholic to chase it down. So the song was called Straight No Chaser. So you take the liquor, but you don't follow it up with a beer, that you just have the shot and that's right. It. And, I feel like there's a lot of stuff out there that's overproduced and, glammed up a little bit too much where, and that's the chaser part that makes it, it makes it feel too pretty and too wonderful. And it makes it feel not real. So the idea of the name is that I'm going to give it to you straight and I'm not going to mess around too much with, I don't want to show them that. Oh, well, I don't want people to see that. Like, no, you're going to get the real stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where the name comes from. It's from an old song. And I liked the name Straight No Chaser. I thought of doing a podcast just called Straight No Chaser, where we talk about politics straight without any of the BS. Ended up that we just turned it into a travel series where I'm traveling around the country. And we only have done that one so far. Right. And those are clips that you just saw of me and my friend my videographer, the guy who follows me around with the camera in Las Vegas.
Let's talk about that. Cause that's okay. We were talking earlier about podcasting and radio feeling weird because you're talking to a screen and likes that, but being followed around by some guy with a camera, number one, that's got to feel weird. But number two, that's got to attract attention, doesn't it?
Yep. Yeah, it definitely does.
Who is that guy? Who is it? He must be somebody.
You know, because even right now, I mean, I'm hooked up to one camera. There's no one really watching me. And I mean, I know you are, but there's no real like live audience. There's no one around to give me feedback or anything like that. So when there is someone actually like a real person with a camera, just literally following me around. And whenever I have something to say, I'll turn to him and he'll get in. I mean, sometimes he's very close to me.
Yeah.
And it's definitely weird. It's like I said, it's outside of my comfort zone. I've never done that before. And yes, it does attract attention. I mean, people look at you weird. They're like, who is this guy? Assuming that I'm like a recognizable name, like, oh, who is that?
Right.
It's like, I'm a nobody. I'm a schmuck. You know, and it's not a weird camera guy. It's a friend of mine who went to school for filmography and knows how to hold a camera. So, you know, I met him and I said, hey, do you want to come with me to Las Vegas and like film me walking around? And he said, are you paying for the hotel? And I said, yeah, I already booked it, you know, so it's already paid for. And he said, you driving? I said, yeah, I'll drive. And he's like, okay.
So off you guys went, heading out to Las Vegas. And this is the kind of thing, I mean, you're changing the oil in your car. And
right.
it's the kind of thing that, okay, most people wouldn't think about as part of a videographer series, but really, when you're traveling in 100 degree freaking heat in the Arizona desert, it's kind of an interesting feel for things, isn't it? And I guess the second question is, you got, you know, 30 or 40 seconds of you here driving. How long do you really film you? How long do you guys really talk about that kind of stuff?
When we talked the entire time and we caught a lot of it on film. I think that the full episode that we recorded ended up being around 45, 50 minutes, something like that. I had to trim that down from 5 or 6 hours of footage.
Well, that's normal.
We're talking pretty much the entire time. Sometimes it's stuff that's just personal. You know, he'll tell me a story about his day or I'll tell him. And it has nothing to do with anything anyone would be interested in. But a lot of the time he's just has the camera on me. And when he doesn't have the camera on me, there's really nothing going on. It's me sleeping or us in a taxi or me waiting for a taxi or something like that. So that's, I mean, but even then you get a little glimpses of that in the episode. And, you know, I'm relatively happy with how the first one turned out, considering it was the first one.
There's a great scene of Tim waking up and after what appears to have been a long night. There's a great
waking. It was a long night and a long day. I mean, yeah. After doing that, because it's not as it's fun, but it's not like I'm on vacation.
Right.
It's go, go, go. I mean, it was a 5-hour drive from Phoenix to Las Vegas. And then once we got there, because we left around, you know, 1 or 1:30 or 2 or something like that, got there in the evening, you know, checked into the hotel and then immediately went out and hit the strip. And we were out until, you know, easily past midnight, 1 or 2. And then even once we got back, we just said, okay, well, I'm still hungry because we didn't really eat right. anything.
Shrimp cocktail time.
We got that later. That was the next day. But yeah, you know, and we stayed out until 4 o'clock and we woke up at, or, you know, till 3 or 4, woke up at 6 or 7, and then it's go. The camera's on me right away.
All right, I got to ask this because I didn't really understand. I watched it several times, and I didn't really. What's the deal with the guy in the pool? What's the deal with the old man in the pool?
I don't know what the deal is. I don't know. We were down there in the pool, and there wasn't a whole lot of footage to be caught because it's just I didn't do anything in the pool. There was no one in there, basically, except for one guy who was sitting in one of those, like, lawn basking chairs. But every time I turned around in the pool, he was looking at me and just giving me a weird, like, glare. He's, like, glaring at me. I'm just like, I don't know you. Like, why are you angry at me? He was just mean mugging us the whole time. And I told Vaughn, or the camera guy, I told him about it. And he said, I know that. That was the same guy who was mean mugging me. And I'm like, what's up with this guy? So we just quickly turned the camera to the pool out of our hotel room window and said, yep, that's the guy. So it was just one of those spur of the moment kind of things where we thought it was kind of funny at the time. I thought
it is funny.
Random. And I just said, let's leave that in, you know, let's keep that because that's what we experienced is some people just are jerks in the world. Yeah. Well, maybe he was having a bad day. Maybe his wife just left him and he was angry at every handsome young guy who he walks past.
It's Vegas, man. He probably just dropped 50 grand somewhere.
That could be too. In which case, God bless him.
There's a couple guys, a couple scenes here I want to talk about. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but where can people see the whole thing?
They can find it on YouTube if they look up. I don't know if they'll find it if they just search Straight No Chaser, because after I bought the domain and after I paid for the graphics and everything, I found out that there's an a cappella group called Straight No Chaser. So you have to type in like Tim Preuss, Straight No Chaser, or just Tim Preuss. You'll probably find it that way. Right. Or straightnochaser.tv. You can find it there. And all the links to all our social medias is on the site.
Right. Plus, we'll link it up on the page for this show. But there's a couple of scenes in here I want to talk to you about. The first one is this guy, and you probably know exactly who this guy is.
Yeah, it's Carl.
You met some homeless people on your trip. Now, I got a pretty extensive background with homeless folks. What attracted you to this guy, and what did you walk away from with your interaction with Carl?
Nothing really. I don't know if it's been an attraction. Homeless people have been an attraction of mine for years. On Christmas Eve, or actually Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but a buddy of mine in Wisconsin, we would go and we'd buy a bunch of hats and gloves and things like that and take them to the Milwaukee Rescue Mission and hand them out personally to homeless people. So it's always been something that I enjoy doing, is actually giving to homeless people, not just, you know, putting something in an offering plate, but actually going down and giving something to them and giving them your time and talking to them and things. So it's nothing particularly unique about this trip that is like homeless. This isn't the first time I've talked with homeless people. I've done that a lot. But we were walking out. We had to get something from a Walgreens or a CVS, and we walked out and Carl was there and he just said, "Hey, you know, I don't think he even asked me for money," which was weird, but he just said, how are you doing tonight? And I said, you know, good. And Vaughn was still inside the CVS. So I started talking with Carl and I said, "Hey, is it okay if we had a conversation and I filmed you?" And he said, "Yeah." And, you know, we heard his story and out of prison, of course, you know, with so many homeless, but he was so positive and he had a giant smile on his face the whole time. And it made me think that maybe there's something about having nothing that actually can bring you happiness. When, you know, because I think it's an old Buddhist saying where they say, you know, the more things you own, the more those things own you.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who owns basically nothing, not a house, not a bed. You know, he owns the clothes on his back and that's about it. But he had such a more positive attitude than I've seen from a lot of people. And I don't live in Scottsdale, but I know plenty of people who do. And Scottsdale's a very ritzy area and very well-off area. And I know so many unhappy people living in Scottsdale. And I'm just like, this guy has absolutely nothing, yet he has such a more positive outlook than some of the people I know who have so much more. What the heck? I don't know what it is about him. And that's, you know, Carl is not indicative of every homeless person that we came across or of any all homeless people, because there are many of them who are clearly on drugs, where they're passed out, you know, on the street. And we walked past plenty of people like that, and we weren't going to like poke them and shove a camera in their face. So, Carl was unique, and he stuck with me, and
it does lead to one of the more interesting. And I don't remember with the film editing. I don't remember if it's before or after the scene with Carl, but there is a very good soliloquy that Tim gives sitting in a window. You're going to want to listen to, because that's and it's well worth that alone is worth the price of admission for the
which is
for
free,
the show, which is free. Right. So the other one I wanted to talk to you about, because I have I don't know what the best word to use to describe myself when it comes to heights, but I'm a submariner. I don't mind going down to test depth. I don't have a problem. I would love to go down to 20,000 feet in the Trieste or whatever. It wouldn't bother me a bit. But somehow or another, being 20 feet off the ground, I cannot do that. And you signed up initially to do this sky jump thing, and I thought, you're insane. And they kept canceling on you, and you could just see the relief building in your eyes that, yes, maybe this thing's going to be closed, and I won't have to do this.
That was, because I signed up just because I knew it would be good for the camera. I know that I could, you know, I could have, I found out that, you know, the sky jump, which is done at the Stratosphere, the tallest building in Las Vegas, they have this, really, it's not a bungee jump. It's like a controlled fall. And I knew that they could attach a GoPro to me. I pay extra money for the file afterwards. And I know that my camera guy could be on the ground shooting up at me. So I'm like, this could be a good ending to the episode, so let's do it. But once I signed up, I was like, crap, what did I do? You know, like, I didn't want to do it necessarily. I mean,
and that comes through clearly. You did not want to do this.
But after it was done, I thought, okay, well, now if something else comes across, like skydiving, like bungee jumping, like, you know, in Florida, we are planning to do some parasailing, you know, where they'll be pulling me behind us, you know, a boat, and I'll be flying, you know, up in the air. And I'm just going to be worried about how I land and not getting eaten by a shark. So, but it made me say, you know what, there's things that I'm not going to want to do, but at the end of it, I'm glad I did it. And that's kind of a little bit of a life lesson, too, where sometimes you're like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. And you're freaked out and your heart is about to, you know, pop through your mouth. You get it over with and you're like, you know what? I was actually pretty cool. I'm glad I did that.
That's kind of the way it seems when everything's done anyway. You're so terrified of things. It doesn't matter what it is, surgery, jumping. And then when it's all over, you're like, that wasn't so bad. So right. You said next year going to Miami, to Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. Why Miami? You got the whole country to pick from. It's summertime. You're from Arizona, for God's sake. Why go to Miami? Why not go to, I don't know, Milwaukee or Chicago or, I don't know, Boston?
I want to save the northern part of the United States for winter.
What are you, insane?
No, I'm just being selfish because I haven't seen snow in, 2 years. So I don't want to go back to Wisconsin when it's nice out. I want to go back when it's blistering cold, when there's snow blowing in my face, because that's the kind of weather that I grew up on and I miss. And I looked forward to winter as a kid and even as an adult to a certain extent. So I want to show that.
I'm from Colorado and Utah, so I'm with you there. And Wyoming, I've grown up with that, you know, 20 below, 60 mile an hour winds crap.
Yeah.
And I've been to Miami. I've been to Florida. And you couldn't pay me money to go there before December. I mean, it's no. That million degrees, yeah, the humidity is about 1,000%.
We'll be filming probably like late September, early October in Miami. And the reason I picked Miami is because I can get a whole lot of footage out of not just Miami, because we're going to fly out to Miami and then we're going to drive back.
Right, so we'll fly out there, better rental car,
film Miami. But, you know, then on the way back, we can hit, you know, the deep South, Alabama and Louisiana and Mississippi. We can hit a lot of stuff in there. We can get to New Orleans and film there. And then we have the giant state of Texas, which we could make into like 5 different episodes if we really wanted to, you know, so you can get, you just fly out and then drive back and you can get 4 or 5 episodes out of one trip. So that's the idea behind it. When we do film the North, you know, we're probably going to go, you know, either to New York or Boston and then work our way back to Chicago. And then we'll get Detroit and Chicago and Milwaukee and Cleveland and New York and Philly. And, you know, so,
you know what, I'm not hearing here, right?
Economize it.
You know what I'm not hearing here?
You're not here in the Northwest.
That's right. What's up with that?
It'll come later.
Denver?
It'll come later.
Denver? Salt Lake City?
I've been to Denver, and I was unimpressed. I was unimpressed.
Of course you were. I mean, Raider fan. Of course you were. So when you're driving back across the South there, you're going to come to a place, and this is where it is on this map here. You're going to come to a place right on the Mississippi-Alabama border called Cuba, Alabama. That's the name of this place, Cuba, Alabama. And I'm going to tell you,
okay,
that if you're ever in Cuba and Alabama on a Sunday afternoon, pray to God you don't get a flat tire. In 1995, 6, somewhere in there, I don't remember exactly, I was driving a bus from Atlanta to Dallas full of kids going to a summer camp, a retreat in Dallas, just outside of Dallas. And naturally, on a Sunday afternoon at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Cuba, Alabama, the bus blew a tire and broke down right there, right, literally a mile from the line. And there was a restaurant in in Cuba, so we've got a van with us, so we're shuffling the kids off the bus to get to the restaurant so that they can get some water. But I got to stay with the bus. It's a million freaking degrees, Tim, and the humidity is about 1,000 freaking percent. And they finally get this guy to come out and look at the tire. And you ever see National Lampoon's Vacation? Do you remember the guys that came out to fix the tires in the desert? I don't know if you've ever seen that or not.
Oh, but I have, but it's been it was when I was young.
That was this guy.
Vague memory.
Okay, that was this guy. I mean, Wally Frame, whatever they call his name, Leroy Bubba. I mean, Bubba and his son Bubba, and they come out there, and he's looking at this thing, and he says to me, and I quote, "Today's your lucky day." I said, "Really?" I said, "How so?" Really? He said, "How so?" He says, "Well, we just happened to have a tire." I said, "Great. It's the wrong size tire. It doesn't actually, it's a different size tire, but it does in fact fit. It is a bus tire, so it does in fact fit. But now I got three tires, one size and one tire just a little bit smaller than that one." And then he says, "That'll be $450. So I whip out the
code. Wow, in 1990s?
Hang on, man. It was Sunday afternoon in Cuba, Alabama. This is what I'm telling to you. Don't do this on a weekend, man. So I whip out the corporate credit card, and he says, "We don't take no Visa cards." So this is not my lucky day, is it? And it turned out it wasn't. And then when I get these kids all the way there's my son. Say hi. When I get these kids all the way to freaking Dallas and get them dropped off, and I'm going to fly home to see my parents so that, you know, while they're doing their thing, I'm doing mine. And I get back from this thing, and these people have the temerity to yell at me because, quote, I bought the wrong size tire in Cuba, Alabama on a Sunday afternoon. I was so mad.
Is it the I-10 that goes through Cuba?
Yeah, it's I-10, man. It's a thing. So if you stop in Cuba, Alabama, tell him I said hi. Tell Harley, right, Harley we'll Wayne, I think that's his name. Harley Wayne, tell him I said hi, and that'll be the thing. So you're looking forward to doing all this. You're set. You're excited about it. I mean, how long are you gonna do this?
I mean, the trip we're planning is going to be between 2 and 3 weeks to go from Miami back to Phoenix. So,
assuming you don't break down in Cuba.
Assuming, yeah, we don't break down, but it'll be a rental car. So we'll have all the different, you know, AAA and all that kind of
it'll
stuff.
It'll be hopefully. Your lucky day. It'll be your lucky day.
Yeah, right. So I think it'll be, I mean, but again, it's not going to be like a vacation.
No.
You know, it is work. And just after doing the Vegas trip, it gave me a new level of respect for the guys who actually like do this as a profession. They're like, "Oh, dang, wouldn't it be wonderful to be Anthony Bourdain?" Well, yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, it has its perks, but
dead?
It's still a job and it is work.
Isn't
and
he
you're not just sitting on the beach, you know, relaxing, drinking a margarita. You're busting your hump doing it.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to it. I am excited about it. You know, and then even after we're done filming everything, then of course it takes hours and hours and hours to actually edit all of this stuff in post-production and get it down to a uploadable file for YouTube. Yeah. And then
it's not like podcasting editing, isn't it?
It's a little more intense than podcast editing. Yeah.
It's a much different thing.
Well, it's different and it's not. There are similarities. I'm glad I know about editing audio because there is some crossover into video editing. And so I think it gave me a little bit of a leg up, but there's still I have a lot to learn. And, you know, we're putting money into, you know, better equipment,
right.
You know, and more cameras and, you know, different tools, basically. So we have more in our toolbox to really utilize and capture, you know, the right shots and the right moments in the best ways and all of that. So, I mean, at the end of, I'm not looking to make money off it, obviously, you know, I'm spending money. You know, I don't know if you know this, Dave, I used to own a Dodge Viper and I sold the dang thing.
I did know you know it's a Dodge Viper. I didn't know you sold it.
Yeah, I sold it. So now I have a bunch of Viper money that it's just burning a hole in my pocket. And I think this is going to be a fun way to spend it. And, you know, worst case scenario is that everyone hates what I did. No one watches it. No one likes it. And but now I know how to edit film. Okay. Well, then I walked away with a new talent. So,
and that's what, you know, that's what it's all about.
Worst case scenario, I still win.
That's the beauty of this whole business is we keep experimenting. I've been experimenting with video myself, and it's the coming thing. I mean, that's the people are getting away from audio, pure audio anymore. Radio is kind of and podcasting even is transiting to video, and so you got to get good at it, and you might as well learn it. That's what it comes down to. Tim Preuss, tell everybody where they can find Straight No Chaser again.
StraightNoChaser.tv, or you can just follow me on all the social media sites. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/Preuss Podcast. P-R-E-U-S-S is how you spell my name. On Instagram, @PreussPodcast, or on Twitter, @Tim_Preuss. But StraightNoChaser.tv will give you links to all the stuff that we're doing, and it'll give you a link to the YouTube page and all of that, so you know that you hit the right page and not the acapella group. Although I hear that they're a fabulous group, so, you know.
Never heard of them. Never heard. Yeah. You can just follow Tim on Twitter, and that'll keep you up to date. And I'm looking forward to now. Are you going to do updates from Miami while you're there, right? You're going to do.
Some updates. It'll be mostly just like Instagram stories and things like that. Won't be anything that's really produced to any extent. But then, even as we get going, then we'll once we're back in Phoenix, we'll be producing short little clips to just kind of tease what's coming next and what the next episode is going to be about. And
there you go.
We'll keep people up to date. We're not going anywhere. We're going to do it one way or the other. And if I blow my whole savings account, then so be it. I'll make more money later.
Looking forward to it. Tim Preuss, Straight No Chaser, no longer the Tim Preuss Podcast. You can check him out online on YouTube, and we'll link him up in the thing for today's show as well. Tim, it's always great to have you here. Great to talk to you again. And we'll look forward to seeing you again real soon when you're in Miami.
My pleasure.
Not thanks, Cuba, Dave. Alabama. Trust me on that one. Don't get stuck there. Believe me. It sucks. All right, everybody. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life you love them very much. You would miss them if they weren't there, so don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I'm Dave Bowman. That over there is Tim Preuss. Wave to him. Say hi to everybody. And we'll see you next time right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network for the Dave Bowman Show. Have a good weekend, everybody, and take care of yourselves. We'll see you next time.
Dave Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to the DaveBowmanShow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.